He's the poet and musician behind hits like The Revolution Will Not Be Televised and TK. People have referred to him as the godfather of rap and the black Bob Dylan. Contemporaries and successes alike praised his political and artistic consciousness, his ability to look unflinchingly at everything from excess consumerism to racism, speaking, of course, about the late Gil Scott-Heron, who spent about a decade living and making music in D.C. in the 1970s. So it's fitting that a local D.C. band is paying tribute to Scott-Heron on an upcoming album which will set his music to a reggae beat. And they're doing it with one of Gil Scott-Heron's early and most extensive musical collaborators who helped create some of these original tracks decades ago. That would be Brian Jackson. He's a keyboardist, flautist, singer, composer, producer, longtime collaborator with Gil Scott-Heron. And the reason why I am excited this afternoon, because it's been a long time since I've seen you, Brian Jackson. Welcome.
As am I, sir. It's great to be here, man.
Welcome.
Good to see
back
you again.
To town. Also joining us in studio is Daryl Burke. He's the leader of The Archives, a D.C.-based reggae band, and co-producer of their upcoming album, Carry Me Home, a reggae tribute to Gil Scott-Heron. Daryl Burke, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Brian, for people who don't know, who was Gil Scott-Heron? Tell us about your musical collaboration with each other and how it started.
Well, I consider Gil Scott-Heron to be one of the finest American poets of the 20th century. He and I first collaborated at Lincoln University in 1969. We went on to write.
How old were you then?
Oh, I had just turned 17, and he was 20. Mm-hmm. And there was a talent show. Our mutual friend Victor Brown wanted to enter, and he had needed me to play God Bless the Child, which I happened to have known. And there was another song that he wanted to do, which was called Where Can a Man Find Peace? And I found out, when I met the writer, it turned out that it was Gil Scott-Heron. And we had been collaborating ever since.
People often talk about your and Gil Scott-Heron's music as political. You've referred to it as conscious. What do you mean by that?
I mean that there's that practically everything that musician does, everything that you do musically or artistically, is political. We are influenced by our society. We are influenced by our environment. So how can your reactions to those things not be political? If you don't intend for it to be, it definitely shows others where you're coming from.
Daryl, what are some of your early memories of listening to music from Gil Scott-Heron and Brian? What draws you to the music?
Actually, my early, when I was first introduced to Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson was through my mom and uncles, who, you know, my uncle went to Dell State in the mid-70s, and, you know, growing up in a lot of Gil and Brian played in my home. So it was so always very familiar to me.
That period in the 70s, I was working at Howard University Radio, and I used to see Gil and Brian around a lot, the station a lot in those days. Brian, you and Gil spent almost a decade together working here in D.C. Did the city inspire any of the music that you two made together?
Not at all. D.C. inspired everything that we did, everything that we wrote, and it inspired our lives and how we lived and how we learned.
You're now back here to work on this tribute album, which we'll hear about in a minute. But first, D.C. has changed a lot since you last lived here. What is it like being back?
Well, is this D.C.?
Not the one you knew.
Not at all. Well, infrastructure mm-hmm. obviously has changed quite a bit. There are so many things that have happened here. Some of them are good. Obviously, it's great to know that you can get from Washington National Airport to the heart of D.C. without getting ripped off by
taxi driver.
Yeah, that's it. I wasn't going to come out of my mouth.
You can jump on the metro, but you had a pleasant surprise here. I remember where you and Gil used to live. Around Logan Circle, and you went around there recently.
Yeah, because where I'm staying, as it turns out, was only a few blocks from where I stayed all those years ago at One Logan Circle. Wow, I touched the doorknob, and I think about five policemen rolled up and asked me what I was doing. But before that, I had actually seen a city landmark poster that was outside, and it turns out that it was it had a picture of Gil and me sitting on the banister outside of One Logan Circle.
You think we forget? No, we don't forget.
Apparently,
in the
DC,
city.
Apparently, you
and
you
cultural
have a long
tourism
memory.
DC makes sure that people remember all of these things. Daryl, you are the leader of the Archives, the band that's working on the tribute, which you're also producing. What's the history of this band?
The history of this band is Eric Hilton from Thievery Corporation, and I actually created this band in the studio about 2010, and we cut an album that he had produced, and from there, all of the session musicians, good friends of mine, used to tour around, you know, with me and everything. We decided to, you know, make it a band, you know.
I gotta point out that Eric Hilton is the one who turned me on to this new collaboration that's taking place here. And if you don't know who Eric Hilton is, he's a major force in DC's nightlife scene and the owner of several bars and restaurants in the city, including the 18th Street Lounge and the Marvin. He's also a musician. He's half of the duo Thievery Corporation. He's a producer and he owns an independent record label. And as I said, he's the one who told me about all of this. Janice emails, I took a writing class from Gil Scott-Heron at Federal City College. You got to be a local to be familiar.
That's right.
And also saw
Creative Thinking, I believe it was called.
Mm-hmm, I remember nice. That. And also saw a fantastic show with Gil and Brian at the Ontario Theater. Now you got to be around for a long time to remember the Ontario Theater.
I don't even remember.
It was on Columbia Road, at the corner of Columbia Road, I think, and 18th or 17th Street.
Oh, yes. Yeah, now I remember. Barnett Williams, our percussionist, lived around there.
There you go. It's been gone for a long time, though, so Janice has a pretty long memory. Daryl, how did you decide to do an album inspired by Gil Scott-Heron?
Man, just recently I had found out that Gil's dad is Jamaican. I didn't, maybe about 3-4 years ago. And I work a lot with Eric Hilton, you know, mm-hmm. his projects from, you know, his label. His label's Montserrat House, and that's where we're releasing the music and everything. But I shot the idea by him. I'm like, man, you know, no one's ever done a reggae tribute to Gil. And, you know, by his dad being Jamaican, I mean, it kind of puts it, you know, in that spectrum. And, you know, reggae, we all call, you know, it's considered island soul music. So, I mean, it was, the songs just go perfect. And, you know, to get Brian on the project was like, man, it's like, I have to pinch myself every other day, like, we're making this thing happen, you know? But then, just, you know, just to have his blessing, doing justice to the music, you know?
That gave it historical and current context for you. Brian, what inspired you to get involved with this project?
Well, when I first was approached by Daryl to consider it, I thought to myself, okay, well, this can either work or it can really go horribly. So I just kind of waited. I was reserved until he sent me some music, and once I heard the album, I was convinced they had actually nailed the feeling for all of the songs. The singer Puma Ta, he's a fantastic vocalist, and the music is top rate.
Daryl, you've released one cover and the music video of the song, Home is Where the Hatred Is. Why did you choose that one?
Man, it's just so, I think it's just really so relevant what's going on now, the whole opioid, you know, epidemic. And it's just like Gil and Brian's music, it's anything you can play is totally relevant to what's happening today.
Well, I got to tell you, when I played it myself, first Gil's version and then yours, we'll hear both of them shortly. I felt more strongly about it today than I did when it first came out. And that's one indication of how the epidemic of drugs in our country has never really changed, Brian.
It's about shame, you know. The song is about shame, and it's about feeling that you know, that no matter what you are or what kind of roads you have taken, that you won't be accepted by those who are supposed to love you. And you know, I think it's a very important message, because we all go down different roads, either by choice or not, often not by choice. That doesn't make us any less lovable. you know.
Let's get a taste of the original track.
A junkie walking through the twilight, I'm on my way home. I never went home again.
And that song appears on the album Pieces of a Man, which you and Gil recorded in 1971. What do you remember about the creative process of making that album and the song we just heard the first time around?
We were in a creative frenzy. We had just met each other, and I had all of these songs, and Gil had all of these lyrics, and we thought, wow, what we need to do is put them together like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and see what, you know, what comes up. So that's what happened, and Gil had already been contracted to do three albums for Flying Dutchman, which was a label that the great producer Bob Thiel had started. But he really wanted to do this music. So the first album was a spoken word album, The Revolution, when Small Talk at 125th and Lennox.
A rat just bit my sister Nell and Whitey's on the moon. Yeah.
That's right. But Gil asked him if it was at all successful, would it be possible for us to record some of the music that we had been writing? And the rest is, I guess, history.
As they say, history. Yes. Now let's listen to the Archives cover.
Chunky walking through the twilight, I'm on my way home. I left 3 days ago, but no one seems to know I'm gone. Home is where the hatred is.
Daryl, tell us a little bit about your process for taking the original and styling it for a reggae band.
Man, Eric, again, Eric and I, you know, Eric's the lead producer, you know, we're doing this together, and we both have similar taste in, like, roots, rock steady reggae, so it was just kind of just, you know, checking out some older music, you know, like some Burning Spear or, you know, some different, you know, bands from the 70s, some Bob, Lil Tosh, and... And it just fell in place, man. It was just like natural.
Well,
like
he's pretty humble, man. But you know, it's what you do. You know, it's what he does.
And then too, yeah, man. I kind of fell into reggae, man. You know, it's interesting how reggae ended up being my journey. But I've been doing it a minute. But it just really worked. It made sense. And then, like I said, again, our singer Puma, man. He's just like he nailed it. You know, his emotion in the music, man. You can feel it. And this guy is like, when was Puma born? 1989.
My gosh, yeah, he's a baby.
Brian, what speaks to you musically about the Archives version? What do you hear when you listen to it?
Well, I hear the understanding behind it, and I hear the peace behind it. You know, a lot of people consider that our music was strictly protest music. A lot of people will say that that our music came from an angry place, and it really didn't. Yeah, our music. If you listen to our songs, you will really understand that. As you have, you will understand that our music is love music. It's about love, just different forms of it.
Got to take a short break. When we come back, we will continue this conversation with Brian Jackson and Daryl Burke and take your calls at 800-433-8850. Do you have a favorite Gil Scott-Heron song? Did you listen to Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson in the 1970s or 80s? Or have you discovered their music more recently? 800-433-8850. I'm Kojo Namdi.
What about the red man who met you? You never dig sharing, always have to have the more. And what about Mississippi, the boundaries of old? Tell me who paid reparations on my soul.
Welcome back. We're talking with Brian Jackson. He's a keyboardist, flautist, singer, composer, producer, longtime collaborator with Gil Scott-Heron. And we're talking about the years they lived and worked here in Washington, D.C. Daryl Burke is the leader of The Archives, a D.C.-based reggae band. He is co-producer of the band's upcoming album, Carry Me Home, a reggae tribute to Gil Scott-Heron, and they've been working with Brian Jackson on that. You actually recorded Winter in America, you and Gil, Brian, right here in the D.C. area in Silver Spring.
That's right.
What do you remember most about that studio and that record when you were making it?
Well, it was an 8-track studio. What I remember most about it was Robert Jose Williams, who we used to call Jose Williams. He was the owner of that studio, DB Sound. It was our first album. After working with Bob, we thought, we can do this. We can sit around with a pipe and tell an engineer what to do. But it turned out to be quite more involved than that, and Jose taught us the ropes.
We got another clip from that album, but this one reproduced by The Archives. This is the song, Peace Go With You, Brother, played by The Archives.
You're my father, you're my uncle, and my cousin and my son. Sometimes wish you another. He's gone with your brother. Yeah. All I can say is peace. Your brother, yeah. Peace go with your brother. Don't make no sense for us to be arguing now. Time is right up on us now, brother. Don't make no sense for us to be arguing now. All of your children, all of my children are gonna have to pay for our.
Peace Go With You, Brother, played by The Archives, originally by Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson from the album Winter in America. Here now is David in Purcellville. David, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo. Just wanted to congratulate Mr. Jackson and The Archives. I saw Gil Scott-Heron perform a couple times in Philadelphia, late 70s. Let's just say my two friends and I were among the lighter-skinned members of the audience that night. And
I remember you.
I perceive Gil Scott-Heron as being one of the giants, and I'm actually a professional musician myself. I still play Winter in America occasionally in my set. I just wanted to congratulate you guys on this tribute. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you.
And I wait to hear more.
Thank you very much for your call. Daryl, how did you decide which songs you wanted to include on this album?
That was difficult, you know, but one thing that really helped me was to not stray away from the pulse, especially like of the mid-70s roots vibe of reggae. So in that decision, because as Eric and I sat down, I was like, man, so many great tunes, but we got to stick with that pulse, you know. And then a lot of these tunes just played in my house, like Peace Go With Your Brother, man. And, you know, Winter in America, we got some nice ones on there.
What's your release date, and where will people be able to hear The Archives?
We we are performing with Brian, sitting in with us tomorrow at the Kennedy Center, the grand opening of The Reach, from what is it, from 7 to 8 p.m., mm-hmm. opening up for Thievery Corporation tomorrow night.
That's going to be so cool. Brian, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now. Where do you live and what do you do?
Oh, well,
outside of all of the things you've always done.
I've been working on a solo album that's probably going to be happening soon. Around 2015 or so, I got my Master's of Fine Arts in digital audio. So I've been doing some teaching, probably about 10 years of teaching at the university level. I get a lot of calls to perform in Europe. And my first time performing in Japan will happen at the end of this month.
Oh, cool. And is there anything we can do to persuade you to come back to live here in D.C. again?
Listen, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here a lot.
Oh, good. Good. We're happy about that. Here now, calling from Atlanta, Georgia, is Rumal. That would be Rumal. Rumal Rackley, who is Gil Scott-Heron's son. Hi, Rumal. What's going on?
Hey, Kojo. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
Good to hear you.
Understand there's a Gil has a memoir coming up?
It's actually been out. It's a memoir. The title is The Last Holiday.
Oh, cool.
And
cool.
It's a memoir that Gil wrote, and it's the best part about it is it's you can hear him speaking through it, you know, in his words, and so all the words really come to life. You can hear his voice in it. But yes, I encourage everybody to read it because it's different than having somebody write a biography about you, as opposed to you writing it about yourself.
Okay.
And so that's why I encourage people to check it out. It's called The Last Holiday.
Thank you very much for your call. Brian Jackson, ever consider writing a memoir yourself?
In fact, I am, and it should be out. It should be out probably next year. There's always two sides to every story, mm-hmm. and you know the other there's one side that has been quite well I think documented.
That's true.
And it's time for me. It's time for me to tell my side. There were two of us. One of us has left, and so I have to do this.
Well, we look forward to hearing your memoir also, Daryl. What's next for the archives after the Reach performance with Brian?
Well, with the Reach performance, we're actually working on a solo record with Brian here and on Eric Hilton's label. He's producing it on Monster Red House. We've been doing it all week recording that, so we're excited about releasing that sometime next year. The archives is going to come out sometime January 2020.
And it was it Eric Hilton who persuaded you to come and work with this group here, Brian?
No, actually it was Daryl.
We
had some friends in common. Oh. And he kind of Larry McDonald actually, and Larry from the percussionist from the Amnesia Express with Gil for several years, and he got us in touch.
Well, Daryl, we thank you for doing that because we really look forward to Brian Jackson being back in Washington and doing work here and seeing him perform. And that comes up at the Reach when?
Tomorrow night. That's at 7 p.m.
at the new space at the Kennedy Center for the Performing Art. It is called The Reach. We did a segment about that last week on this broadcast. You can go into our archives and find that there. Daryl Burke is the leader of the archives. It's a D.C.-based reggae band. He's co-producer of the group's upcoming album, Carry Me Home, a reggae tribute to Gil Scott-Heron. Daryl, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Jackson is a keyboardist, flautist, singer, composer, producer, longtime collaborator with Gil Scott-Heron. Brian Jackson, such a pleasure to see you again.
It is an honor and a pleasure, my friend. It's good to see you again.
Thank you very much. This look at the local legacy of Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson was produced by Margaret Barthel, and our segment on the new NEAR Act data was produced by Maura Curry. Coming up tomorrow on the Politics Hour, D.C. Attorney General Carl Racine will be here to share details on the many headlines his office has made in recent weeks. Plus, we'll hear from D.C. statehood activists about their expectations for next week's statehood hearing on Capitol Hill. That's the Politics Hour, starting tomorrow at noon. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Kojo Nnamdi.
The Kojo Nnamdi Show is produced by Ruth Tam, Julie Deppenbrock, Margaret Barthel, Sydney Grannon, Maura Curry, and Victoria Chamberlain. Our managing producer is Monica Ashvi, and our engineer is Natalie Yurev-Lifker. For past shows and more content, visit kojoshow.org.